The grace and the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. There is a place today in God's house and at our Lord's table for all those who will approach Him and in faith to taste and see that the Lord is good, the one who provides forgiveness, renewal and the hope of an eternal kingdom. Let's pray that in God's mercy He will enable us to be part of that great experience in this moment. If you have time afterwards, friends, tea and coffee served in the large hall, and it would be good to continue our fellowship there with you. But let's now worship God together as we sing, God we praise you, God we bless you.
Let's come together as a church family to approach God in prayer. This is a prayer inspired by Psalm 23. Generous God and giver of all things, we rest in your loving and tender care, and we are revived, restored, and renewed by your strength and encouragement. So we will pause and take a moment to be still for the presence of the Lord that is moving in this place. Lord, you go before us in life, leading us in pathways that are secure, without the confusion of becoming lost. You come to cleanse and to heal and to minister your grace. So, Lord, we come before you in the stillness. As human beings, we know there will be times of stress when our bodies or minds let us down. We know there will be dark times too, when life seems to be nothing but struggle. And it's in those times especially that we rely on your presence deep within us to guide and comfort us. Grace-giving God, you provide us with the tools we need for the tasks we face. And for this we give you our trust and thanks. But forgive us now for the times when we have disappointed ourselves and denied your glory, when we have relied on our own tools and strengths rather than being fed on your word and your unmeasurable love for us, when we've ignored the opportunities that you have given us to stand on holy ground and to be in communion with you through prayer. Life-giving God, you put out the welcome mat for us as we gather to worship you today. You nourish our souls and bodies through your goodness and tender mercies. You heal our life's wounds, and your generous love fills us to overflowing. You have promised that your unfailing love will stay with us and for us, and we give you thanks. And we come now to worship you, to praise you, and to thank you. And as we come as a church family to the Lord's table this morning, we remember we are here because of the grace and love of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave us life so we can find love and hope that penetrates the darkness. And as our Lord Jesus Christ taught us, let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Before we come to listen to God's word to us this morning, we're going to sing our prayer of understanding, which we'll sing sitting down. Break thy bread of life. So our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Deuteronomy, and we're looking at chapter 5, verses 12 through to 15 on page 184. So this section of scripture from Deuteronomy comes just after Moses has recounted the history of Israel's journey. Moses then recalls the Ten Commandments and the other laws given to the Israelites at Mount Sinai. He urges them to obey the law and reminds them of the consequences of disobeying God's law. The people had entered a covenant with God, and Moses commanded them to hear, learn, and follow his statutes, and to remember their corporate identity and experience as God's people. So let's listen to God's word. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor the alien within your gates, so that your manservant and maidservant may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Amen. And our second reading comes from the Gospel according to Mark, and we're looking at Mark chapter 2, verses 23 to 28, and this can be found on page 1004. So that's Mark chapter 2, verses 23 through to 28. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on a Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for the priest to eat, and he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.'" Amen, and may God bless to us these readings from his holy word.
Well, good morning, boys and girls. Nice to have a wee word with you before you go to the Sunday club. You probably remember, I'm always telling you stories about me losing things. All right. There's always something being lost. I always say the most frequently heard word in my house is, "Where's my? Where's my book? Where's my glasses? Where's my fill in the blank?" You know. And the other day there, I lost a wee wallet that I'd had for quite some time. Now, I was pretty sure there wasn't too much money in it or anything, but I know that sometimes I used to put my old age pensioner's travel card in it, you know, that helps me to get cheap fares on the train and on the bus. So there was a wee bit of urgency, do you know what I mean? I really did feel that I had to find it. I looked everywhere and I couldn't find it. So I decided I just had to go and buy another one. Just had to go and buy another wee wallet. So I went and into the shop and I bought this here. See that? Isn't it nice? It's got a wee flap. You can put your money and there, your change and your notes and your old age pensioner's travel card at the front, you know, and it's all very handy. But you'll never guess. You will never guess. After I had paid all the... Oh, Mrs. Buchanan's here. I better not tell you how much I paid for this new one. What do you think happened? Yes. I found the old one. I found the old one, which was in my coat pocket. It's not just an old age pensioner's travel card that I need, is it? You know, but there it was in my coat pocket. And I remember something that my mother used to say to me whenever I said to her, where's my book, where's my whatever. She used to say, it'll be where you left it. And I never found that very helpful. Because if I knew where I'd left it, then I'd be able to... Anyway, so there it was in my coat pocket, and I had to go and tell Mrs. Buchanan. Oh dear. Anyway, so there we were. But you see, then I had a problem, because I had my old one, which I was very fond of. It's funny how you get attached to these things, isn't it? And I had a brand new one as well. So my first thought was, well, I better hold on to this one, just in case I do lose that one. But then it occurred to me, well, maybe I should be thinking about giving this one away. Maybe there is somebody who would appreciate having a wee wallet for their money and their cards and everything like that. So that's what I'm going to do. So if there's anybody you know who's in need of a wee wallet, please let me know. And it came to my... See, my first thought was to keep it. You know, I wanted to keep it. But then my second thought was maybe I should give it away. And it reminded me of something Jesus once said. He said, it's better to give than to get. It's better to give than to get. And someone once said to me a long, long time ago, we're most like Jesus when we give. We're most like Jesus when we give. And we're remembering today, as we come to the Lord's table, that Jesus was even prepared to give his life so that we could be part of God's family in heaven. So let's never forget, it's better to give than to get. And we're going to sing now a hymn which tells us something about all that Jesus has given for us. And during the singing of this, boys and girls, you can go to the Sunday club. But let's sing together, "Beneath the Cross of Jesus, I Find a Place to Stand." Now let us pray. God, our Father, we praise you for your word, which reveals Jesus to us. And we pray that as we approach your word now in this moment, that there would be a real encounter with the living Lord, that would be a changing encounter, and that we would go forward better able to be the people you want us to be. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, I'm not exactly sure who it was who said it, but I remember hearing someone say, or perhaps I read it somewhere, that every preacher should approach every sermon as if it was his last. Now, just for the avoidance of doubt, I would like to say that apart from the gracious providence of God, I intend to be preaching a few more from this pulpit. But I think that piece of advice, that you should approach each sermon as if it were your last, I think it's something that all of us need to take to our hearts today. I think it speaks of a sense of urgency, that there is a possibility in the preaching of God's word that there can be a connection with the eternal truths that God wants the whole world to know. And that if that connection takes place, then there will be a change. A change in the minds and in the hearts of those who have preached and those also who have listened. And that same urgency runs through the whole of the book of Deuteronomy, because what you have in the book of Deuteronomy are the last sermons that Moses preached to the children of Israel. They're on the verge of the promised land. They're about to fulfill the promise that God had given them, that this land had been set apart for them in order to build up a witness to him on the earth. And Moses' sermons in this ancient book, they are delivered to prepare the people for that moment. He reminds them, as Lindsay said to us in her preface to the reading, he reminds the people of all their experiences as they've been released from slavery in Egypt, as they've come through that 40-year trek in the desert. And he also reminds them of the teaching that was delivered to them as they made their way towards the promised land. And at the core of that teaching, of course, was a series of principles that God wanted his people to embrace if they were to become the people he wanted them to be. These principles that we know as the Ten Commandments. And it is interesting that more space is given in the Ten Commandments to the faithful observance of the Sabbath than to any other of God's commandments to his people. For he wanted there to be a day of rest. He wanted there to be an opportunity for renewal. He wanted his people to set aside time for reflection upon his goodness to them. But he also wanted them to remember their past in particular, and to remember that there was a time when they themselves were slaves in Egypt. That was the, if you like, the central experience of the people of God, that for so many years they had been slaves in a foreign land until God delivered them by his mighty power. Now, there weren't too many people left at this point when Moses was preaching to the people of Israel. There weren't too many people left who'd actually experienced the deliverance from slavery. There were only two, actually. A man called Joshua and another called Caleb. Everyone else who'd been through the experience had died. But for those who remained, that story was still with them. That story was part of their collective consciousness. Very much in the way that the two world wars are part of our national consciousness, the two world wars in the 20th century. We remember that, not because we were all involved, but because it's part of our nation's experience. It's our story. And that's the way it was with the people of Israel and their release from slavery. It was the central event in their history. And it's a bit like that when we come to the Lord's table. Whenever we come to break bread and to share wine in memory of Jesus. We can't remember Jesus in the same way that his disciples remembered him. They saw him, they heard him, they touched him. We can't remember in the way that they remembered. But that story, the story that is demonstrated in the breaking of bread and the sharing of wine, the story of how God's Son came amongst us, shared our life with all its joys and its sorrows, gave his life for us on the cross and rose again as the guarantee that all those who sleep in death will also be raised. That story has been heard by us. That story has made an impact upon our lives. And that story has changed us. When we remember all that God has done for us in his Son Jesus, so that we can come to the Lord's table today. In the words of the communion hymn, which says, "I come with joy, a child of God, forgiven, loved, and free." The life of Jesus to recall in love laid down for me. That story is part of our story. As we remember Jesus today, so the people of Israel remembered their release from slavery in Egypt. An old, old story. Remember that hymn. Tell me the old, old story of unseen things untold. Of unseen things above. Jesus and his glory. Jesus and his love. It is an old, old story, but it still makes an impact upon people's lives. And that was the way it was with these people gathered before Moses on the verge of the promised land. And it was a story that carried a sense of responsibility with it. It carried a sense of responsibility. This wasn't just about individuals' response to God. That way, faith could become just a wee compartment in the mind that doesn't touch anything else in our lives. It wasn't just about individual response. The commandment called upon people to make provision on the Sabbath for their families. To make provision on the Sabbath for those who might work for you. To make provision on the Sabbath for foreigners who were in the midst of God's people, that they should not be exploited in any way, that they should be given all the privileges that God's people shared. And provision also made for the animals that were made to work the land. It wasn't just about individual response. The commandment reminded people of the responsibility. It said to them, remember that you were slaves. That you didn't get a day off. That you were worked until you dropped. Remember that. And remember the responsibility that you have for one another. Reminds me, friends, that yes, we call for an individual response to Jesus and his love for us. We stand in the presence of God as individuals, but the more you stand in the presence of God as an individual, the more he will be turning you out towards others who stand in need. As I said to the kids earlier, we're never more like Jesus than when we are giving. And millennia ago, God's people were reminded of their responsibility to one another. And that's why it's so important to me, friends, that part of our tradition at the Lord's table is that we're seated as you are, and that we serve one another with the bread and the wine. Seeking communion with our Lord Jesus Christ, who's with us, as real as the bread and wine that we touch and taste. But even in that moment, as he's real to us, we are reminded of the person next to us and our responsibility to share, to give of ourselves for their good. And that's a big call, of course it is. Whenever we're talking about service, we don't ever want to give people the impression that there's nothing to it. But that's when we remember the story. Once again, the story of God's deliverance of his people from slavery, and we're reminded that it comes with a sense of the power of God. That we don't stand alone in the life of service. That the power of God is present with us to enable us to serve. Moses recalls to his people that they were led out from slavery in Egypt by God with his mighty hand and his outstretched arm. The power of God was revealed in that moment in signs and wonders. It was all done on behalf of his people. And his power was shown continuously in their trek through the desert when they were a people in need. And God's mighty power was shown in the midst of his people. And this is something, isn't it, that Christians like you and me have longed to see down through the generations. Some demonstration of God's power in the midst of his people, so that all these days of failure, talk of failure and lack of influence and all the other stuff that's here to discourage us, so that all of that is swept aside. How often have I prayed along with the prophets, oh God, that you would rend the heavens and come down in the midst of your people. And I don't think it's wrong to pray that. And even as I realize that there are probably more days of my ministry behind me than are before me, I still cherish the hope that even in my lifetime we might see a new Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit comes down upon God's people and we are renewed as we seek to be faithful in our mission to the world. But even as these thoughts come to my mind, I'm reminded once again that the power of God begins in individual lives. And that it's possible for us, even as we are gathered here this morning, to know something of God's mighty hand and his outstretched arm in our lives. Because it is that power working through everything that Jesus has done for us on the cross. It's God's power that enables us to know something of his forgiveness today. It's God's power that enables us to embrace his values as we seek to be faithful in our time. And it's through God's power that we see, as individuals and as a people, we see death transformed from a cul-de-sac into a one-way to heaven. This has all come to us by the mighty hand and the outstretched arm of our God. And it's as we remember this, all that has been provided for us, that surely we can touch that sense of commitment that comes through the fourth commandment. Because the commandments are given. They were given to God's people so that they may respond. And the principles that are enshrined in these commandments are still there for us to respond. Now I know that whenever you think of the Sabbath, there's a lot for us to work out there. And the church has got herself into a few knots over the gears. Apparently my grandfather allowed the Sunday papers to be bought on a Sunday but not read till Monday. That kind of thing, you know. But the Sabbath principle is there for us. And we have to be as obedient as we can be in observance of what God has provided for us. Along with all these other principles that come to us in God's Word. How committed are we as we stand the recipients of God's goodness to us? How committed are we to His ways? And the Lord's Supper is an opportunity for us to reaffirm our commitment, friends. You know, we always remember the words of the Apostle Paul at the Lord's table where he said, whenever we eat this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. We proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. And in that expression of faith, there is the idea that our God is marching on, that His truth is marching on, that He's moving towards that day when all things will be made new. And the question for us is, how deeply, how faithfully are we in step with that will? I heard an interview just recently with a best-selling author, and it was being discussed how important it was to have a good first sentence in a novel. And he said, yeah, that's quite important, but I always have my last sentence ready so that I know what I'm working towards. And we know what we are working towards, friends. God has written His final sentence. When the final victory will be secured over sin and death and injustice and cruelty. We are moving in that story along with Abraham and Moses and Elijah. Along with the great prophets Isaiah and Jeremiah. Along with Peter and along with Paul. Put your own name in that great roll of honour. We're all being gathered together and moved forward. As a people. Chosen by God. And awaiting His promises to be fulfilled. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God our Father, we ask that in the power of Your Holy Spirit, You would bring us to that remembrance which will have an impact upon all our lives today and take us forward in service. For Jesus' sake, Amen. Friends, we continue our worship now with the offering. The offering will be received. God our Father, we ask that You would accept these offerings which we now present to You for the advancement of Your kingdom, and pray that You would accept the offering of our lives, everything that we are, faithful, to your call, drawing upon your mighty power, that we might arrive at last to that newness of creation which you have promised to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Service this morning, we're going to have a planning meeting for Sun Kids. So if you're involved in this ministry, if you could have a cup of tea and then come along to the centenary room, that would be wonderful. Sun Kids is an amazing ministry that I've been really blessed to be involved in since coming here. It happens once a month on a Saturday, where local children from Bearsden and Mulgay come into the church on a Saturday afternoon and hear Bible stories and learn about the love of Jesus. And we have games and music and craft, and it's a time of real blessing. So if you are keen to be involved in Sun Kids and you haven't volunteered in the past, then do come along to this planning meeting too and hear a little bit more about it. So if you're involved in Sun Kids, grab your coffee and then come to the centenary room. Thank you.
Friends, as the elders leave the church to uplift the elements of bread and wine, we will remain seated and sing according to thy gracious word, in meek humility, and then rise to sing, Ye Gates. But let's now sing together according to thy gracious word. Grace and the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Please sit down. Friends, whenever we gather at the Lord's table, we are reminded that we are part of a story that stretches back to the beginning of time, but particularly that we're part of a story which focuses upon a gathering of people in an upper room in Jerusalem the night before our Lord Jesus was sacrificed upon the cross. And it is our tradition that we recall this through the words of the Apostle Paul, who establishes our continuity with that old story. As people long ago broke bread and shared wine, so we today do the same, for the same reason, to remember our Lord. And in the words of the Apostle, he says to us today, I have received from the Lord the teaching that I passed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took a piece of bread, and after he had given thanks to God, he broke the bread and said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in memory of me. And in the same way, after the supper, he took the cup and said, this cup is God's new covenant sealed in my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me. And Paul says that every time we eat this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So let us now do as Jesus has commanded us, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. As Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread and wine, we take this bread and this wine to be set apart from ordinary use, so that we can use this in our sacred meal. And in the same way that Jesus gave thanks to God, let us now draw near to our Heavenly Father and offer our prayers of thanksgiving and praise. Let us pray. God our Father, we stand before the beauty of your creation and we experience your power. We stand in those relationships which are so dear to us, within our families, amongst our friends, in the community of the church, and we experience your love. We stand in the midst of the challenges of our day, the cruelty, the injustice, the resistance to the gospel, and we are stirred by your purpose. And so we praise you, Father, for the many ways that you reveal yourself to us and seek to touch us at the deepest level of our lives. But most of all, we praise you for that supreme expression of your love for us in the gift of your Son, Jesus. We remember today his compassion for the sick and the troubled. We remember his commitment to justice and truth. We remember how he poured out his life as a sacrifice for our sin, how he rose again to bring us eternal hope, and how he has granted us the gift of his Spirit to be his people, living in his power and working for his purpose. We pray today that in our sharing of bread and wine, we would be drawn deeper into your great love and more firmly established in your perfect will, that we might respond to Jesus without reservation, without counting the cost, with no limits placed on our service. Go with us on our journey of faith. Help us to understand more of your truth. Enable us to show your love to those in need. And give us the strength we need to meet every challenge you set before us. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you, O Father, and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. We share this bread and this wine because Jesus has commanded us to do so. On the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, and after he had given thanks to God, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me." And in the same way, after the supper, he took the cup and said, "This cup is God's new covenant sealed in my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me." Take this bread and eat it. This is the body of Christ, which is broken for you. Do this in memory of him. And take this cup and drink from it. This is God's new covenant sealed in the blood of Christ, which was shed so that the sins of the world might be forgiven. Do this in memory of him. The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us pray. God our Father, we ask that now by your grace the story will continue, with we as your people sharing what we know to be true concerning Jesus. With we as your people reaching out to areas of need, wherever we find it. With we as your people, seeking in all things the fulfillment of your promises to us and the glory of the name of your Son Jesus. We pray, O Lord, that we would have faith in your presence with us, that we would touch those resources you have given us in your Spirit, that we would be fired by the vision set before us of the whole of creation reconciled to the Creator. And in all of this, we pray that the name of Jesus will be glorified in everything we say and do. And it is our privilege and our blessing now to pray together in the words that he taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, as the elements are being taken from the church, we'll sing together, "Blessed be the everlasting God." But now we sing together. We have heard a joyful sound. Jesus saves. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forevermore.